The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion. The one, the only, the always incredible, Tony Casillas. Tony, a happy belated Valentine's Day to you.
You too. And it was a double whammy for me. As you know, I think I mentioned this to you. It was my anniversary also. So I'm one of those guys that if you forget one thing, you can't forget the other, because if you do, you're just a total dumbass. But nevertheless, it was great. I am kind of hungover on chocolate and everything else, but it was a nice Valentine's. How about yourself, big man?
Mine was good. We decided, because this is a year where it fell on a Thursday, we decided to kick it down the road to Saturday. So that's going to be when we go out and celebrate. So we just had a nice dinner at home and kind of just enjoyed it. And we'll have our bigger celebration later on in the weekend. But I did see your photos of your, you know, when you celebrated your anniversary, your nice, beautiful little post. Some awesome very threads beautiful. You were wearing back in the day.
Yeah, I was. I had the white tuxedo going on. And, you know, what you're referring to is my wife and I actually got married in Cabo San Lucas. And it was on those, it was a beautiful wedding. 22 years ago, first of all, I mean, anyone, especially her, stay married to me for 22 years. Wow, it's definitely my anniversary because she is my gift. But it was kind of cool. It was very picturesque. As I mentioned, on the beach, and I had that white suit going on. Actually, had the Antonio Banderas look.
Yeah, well, that was
the ponytail when I had more hair back in '97. People don't know who Tony Banderas is. He's actually the cat in
what was it? Was it The Mexican? Is that the name of the movie?
It's Desperado. No, I'm talking about the other it's an animation movie. But anyway,
Puss in Boots. That's what it is.
Puss in Boots. Yeah. Yes. For the younger generation, but Desperado. But anyway, it was it's been a long time, and like I said, I'm a lucky man, and it was one of those days I'll never forget.
Respect. Well, it was really cool to see, you know.
You'll know one day when you've been married for 22 years. And
well, you know, when that happens, I doubt that people will say I looked like Antonio Banderas, but, you know, it'll be something similar. So Tony, the weekend is coming, another week of the off season in the books. The Alliance is happening this weekend and warmer weather is on the way, and that's all good. But I have a random question for you. Do you like money? I mean, just do you like money? I mean, you know, do you like
it? No, I hate money.
I mean, to be fair, sometimes it weighs a lot.
You've seen Wall Street before.
Like literally, like
yeah, the movie with the first Wall Street, where Gordon Gekko said money is, what did he say? Greed is good and money is great, and that whole philosophy. Not that I'm greedy, but yeah, to answer your question, who doesn't love money?
So, would you rather, if you could choose, would you rather have more or less money? If I gave you two bags and I said, hey, you know, no cost to me, Tony, would you rather have this bag of more money or this bag
more
of less money?
Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Okay, cool. Because, you know, because it is the off season, there's all this talk about contracts, because that's going to come up for the Cowboys and for every NFL team. And one player that is eligible for a contract extension, as we have discussed, has been Dak Prescott. And to be clear, the point I'm about to make has been said about some other guys like Sean Lee and whatever. But Tony, check this out. There are people who think, for real, hey, you know, I think that Dak will take less money to help the team. I think that when Dak sits down in that room, that he's gonna say, nah, man, I'm cool. Just slice like $30 million off that, because I don't want that. I want that to go to somebody else that is not me. Now you have experience as a professional athlete, specifically for the Dallas Cowboys, but you've also had other jobs in life. So I'll ask you this, Tony: if somebody, your boss in whatever field of work it was, said, hey, dude, I'm going to offer you X. Did you ever at any point say, you know what, man, less than X is good with me. I'm good. I'm good with that.
I'm a loyal person, but I'm not that loyal. First of all, you got to think of the people that are actually paying your salary, how much money they're making, and the equation of how am I ever going to make that money in my lifetime. And it'd be like, you know, someone in they're working for a corporation. You're worth $200,000, and okay, you can make $200,000, but we're gonna pay you $75,000 because we know you're just a loyal employee.
Yeah, it's
that doesn't work.
So let me ask you this, because people have floated this out with Dak, and again with Sean Lee, and it seems to be that people do this with their favorite players. You know what I mean? Oh, he seems like the kind of guy, Tony, who would do it. I know it. You know. In your day, I mean, at any level, at any team, whatever, was there ever a guy? I mean, I'm asking seriously here. Was there ever a guy that said, you know what, Tony, the boss, he offered me all this money, but, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I want that to go to y'all. You know, I mean, I don't want all of it. I mean, was there ever a guy who really was this person that people have sort of generated in their minds, this all-giving Robin Hood of an NFL player?
Yeah, there was.
Really?
In my dream. Okay. Not reality.
So
look, we're all in it together and everything else, but no, not in the business world of professional sports. I've never heard anyone that was made so much money where they wanted to give it back, or you know what? Hey, and I like to do a lot of work with a lot of organizations,
totally.
And I like to donate money, but you know, I'll do that as a nonprofit, but you're in the profit business as an athlete and as a business person, any walks of life.
Why do you think people think this way, Tony? I know we've been kind of joking, but I mean, seriously, why do people believe that, whether it's Dak or Sean Lee or DeMarcus Lawrence or whoever, why do people believe, because they do, some people really do believe, why do they believe that they will take less money?
I think because they're good guys. And I think that there's an athletes and look, I don't know if that's the better reason, but you know, for Dak Prescott is he's on his first contract. He's making well under the pay scale for a franchise quarterback. I mean, we know what that is.
Totally.
$25 million he made coming on his rookie contract, making what, $700,000, whatever that is, and that's peanuts. And then Sean Lee, he's a great, you know, both the guys are totally different circumstances.
Very much.
One guy is in wants to play another year, is making too much money based on his contribution. You know, on the other hand, but I think it's all the personality and what people really think of them as these great giving guys, and they are. But look, there's no doubt about it. People are in it to make money. It's all about making as much as you can at a short life shelf as an athlete. So you got to get it while you can.
Very much. I mean, I think it's fair to say, you correct me if I'm wrong, that these guys, most of them, will never be, after their playing careers are done, in situations like this, where they can make this much money at their job.
Not like this, where they have the best leveraging, their best tool, and their best you know, marketing and able to play a game in which, you know, it paid this monopoly money and hitting a lottery. No, this is a time when you got to embrace it and get it.
I think it's an interesting, you know, you said what you said. I think it's an interesting look at the psychology of fans and just, you know, your projection of what you want to believe, you know, like, and it goes back to, you know, it's kind of like when you're a little kid and you ask a guy for his autograph and he's a jerk or whatever, and it kind of ruins your perception of him, you know what I mean? And so you want to believe, oh man, he's that guy, you know, he would take glass and he would do it because he loves the star and all that. But I mean, welcome to corporate America. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And I'll ask you this, Tony, as somebody in that locker room, and you're right that Dak is a very unique situation because he's been making so much less than the average NFL quarterback. If you're Dak's teammate, are you thinking, man, you know, screw this guy getting $25 million. Or are you saying, man, good for him. You know, he earned it. He deserves it. I'm happy for him. I hope I get mine too, but good for Dak.
You know what? You know your place. You know your role. You know your pay scale. You know what a quarterback gets in the National Football League. I mean, they are, you know, they are the face, and they carry the most weight, and they're larger than football life. So they're going to get their money, and you want them to get their money, and what's deserving the money, because when it comes down to it, everyone's, you know, it's a narcissistic business. Mm-hmm. You know, you're focused on what you need to do and what you need to get for you and your family, and that's the way you got to look at a business. You know, no one complains about CEOs and these guys that are, you know, cashing out on their stock options and making $35 million. No one talks about how, oh, those guys are really great guys. Why don't they just only, maybe they forfeit that. Why don't they only cut their salary in half? But it's all about the you know, the perception of the athlete is, you know, being kind and giving, and especially when it comes to Dak Prescott. That's a compliment to him, because most guys, fans wouldn't have that type of perspective of about him.
It's so interesting, just looking at Dak and the arguments and the debates that encircle who he is. And obviously, I mean, you're right. I've never been there, but I think that it is safe to say that guys know their role. And I think that guys look at Dak and say, man, that dude has to be our quarterback. He has to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And they know, I mean, you know what people say about him. I mean, I think it must be easy to understand that it's a hard thing to walk in Dak Prescott's shoes, and that he does it pretty well.
And I know this. I know as a player, you always envy and you'd like to be the quarterback, but then you kind of, you understand what they have to shoulder day in and day out, and the scrutiny, how they're scrutinized, the negativity. If let's just look at Dak's short career, how he's gotten scrutinized. Is he a quarterback of this team? Is he going to lead this quarterback to where they want to go? So a lot of things come with that. And again, you know, as a franchise quarterback, you know they're going to get it. So I think everyone understands the nature of the business, the nature of the beast, what it takes to play in the game. And again, when you're talking a very short career, the last time I checked, the average playing time for an NFL player is 3.3 years. I don't know where they got that, but it's not long. So he's gonna get paid.
Well, it will be interesting to watch, and I agree with you. I mean, that seems to be something that people have the hardest time just accepting. He is going to get paid. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, when you look at his resume, the position that he plays, and the league that he plays in, that means that you get, it's a simple, you know, matter of fact. He's going to get paid. It's going to be like Scrooge McDuck, dude. I mean, he's going to dive into that thing. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, and just look around. Look in the National Football League. Look at the Denver Broncos. They just traded for Joe Flacco, and they mm-hmm. brought Case Keenum in last year and paid him, I don't know, $25 million for rental or – So, yeah, I mean, that's just the parameters of which the quarterback position is paid in the NFL.
Totally. We had something go out on Friday at BTB. Tom Rao wrote it up that you're right. I mean, the Joe Flacco trade proves that the market for quarterbacks is insanely high. I mean, you know, and so, and that's Joe Flacco. And then, I mean, I wrote about this early in the week, and Tony, I mean, dude, it's just a constant, well, he's better than Dak. And it's just like, dude, what, I mean, what are you talking about? You know, that you think Joe Flacco is better than Dak, but I don't know. Where would you rather live, Denver or Baltimore?
Denver.
I think so too. Yeah. Better crabs in Baltimore, but I think
I like Denver. I mean, both of them got there's great things about both cities, but that's the thing about it. You know what? You don't know about that position, and you know Joe Flacco's 34 years old, but it just shows that how desperate. You know, look at Denver. Their whole. I mean, they drafted, was it Paxton Lynch? They drafted that cat, and he was a bust. And you know, they brought was it Trevor Siemian?
They almost paid Brock Osweiler too.
Osweiler. I mean, look at what they've been through. The revolving door quarterbacks, and all those cats have all gotten paid. So what's wrong with Dak getting paid?
Well, and not only that. I mean, Dak is better than all those guys. The Broncos would.
And he's young too.
Yeah, the Broncos would kill to be able to pay Dak $25 million a year. You know what I mean? They would love to be in that position. So I think that's,
you know what I think this gets, I think what gets kind of skewed, RJ, is that people start looking at what people are talking, you know, the stats and, you know, and they think about wins and losses, but there's only a handful of quarterbacks, probably count on one hand, that you would think that it goes in that upper echelon, maybe not even five. The rest of them, 32 quarterbacks, you look at what, you know, the average quarterback gets paid. And that's the market value. It's the market value.
It really is. And you're right. I mean, I think, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, Dak Prescott's greatest crime is that he isn't Tom Brady. You know what I mean? And that's just an unrealistic expectation to have of anybody.
If Tom Brady, RJ, I mean, interrupt you, Tom Brady's not getting paid what he should. I mean, if anyone gets is given their team a hometown discount, that dude's making way under, and I'm not saying way under, but he's not making, quarterbacks like.
Like Aaron Rodgers,
Kirk Cousins, or those type of quarterbacks. And what has Kirk Cousins done?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, you could get really finicky with it. I mean,
You could look at it that way. If you're a fan, you want to look around and not just the Cowboys and think, you know, but it all comes back in full circle.
It really does. And you mentioned the Joe Flacco trade, and this is a great sort of setup and menu for our Friday episode, because it's kind of a cheeky episode. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that happened around the NFL this week that kind of has to do with the Cowboys. The Joe Flacco trade serves as an example of how much Dak is worth, certainly. Something else, this didn't happen necessarily, but Jay Glazer of Fox and The Athletic, and what is his gym's name? Is it Unbreakable? Is that his gym in LA, I think?
He's the MMA guy.
Right. So he had a column this week on The Athletic, and he was asked to give a bold prediction. And he could have gone anywhere. I mean, and again, this doesn't necessarily mean it will happen. It's a bold prediction by definition. And Tony, would you believe that he said that Odell Beckham Jr. will be traded? He said that he thinks, obviously he thinks it. It's his bold prediction. He thinks that Odell Beckham Jr. will be traded this offseason, and because Odell plays for the Giants and they suck, that has to do with the Cowboys, because if we don't have to play Odell twice a year, I'm cool with that. And for what it's worth, Bet Online did release odds in terms of his potential team for week one. They do have the Giants listed at 1-1, so there is some belief that nothing happens there. But they've got the 49ers, Dolphins, Raiders, Steelers, Cardinals, Jets, Bills, Bears, Browns, even the Cowboys and Patriots down near the bottom. Could you see this happening?
Did you mention the Raiders?
I did.
Okay. Well, you're talking about Bet, and you consider it's a betting website. You look at either the Raiders or the 49ers. You know, the Oakland has, what, 3 first-round draft picks? They got a 4th, a 24th, and a 27th pick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to at least take one first-round pick for it. I mean, Amari Cooper, that's what the Cowboys had to give up for him. And then I guess the 49ers, they have the 2nd pick, and they have Jimmy Garoppolo. It wouldn't surprise me. First of all, you know, Odell Beckham – I don't know. Maybe he's a different guy in the locker room, but to me, he creates this kind of Odell drama. And, you know, I think the Giants are going a different direction.
Yeah.
I think they need to have, some players or receivers, especially complement the quarterback.
Well,
so I think if you're going to really, right now is probably the prime time, considering the teams that have the capability to pull off a trade. What they want, I think those top two teams right now, I would consider the teams that can make that happen.
Well, first of all, I'll say it's pretty difficult to compliment Eli Manning.
Future quarterback.
Right. And so it would be fascinating if the Giants ultimately did this, because I mean then the future of their offense is obviously Saquon, because you know Eli is not the future. So that would be one level of fascination.
But would it be safe to say that maybe they're going to draft maybe David Haskins from Ohio State?
Sure.
I mean, is that
maybe the idea is kind of start over with him and Saquon, you know, whatever. And maybe you don't want Odell on the books for that. So you know, you mentioned the 49ers. There's a lot of connections made between them and Antonio Brown, who had posted out a video this week where he said goodbye to the Steelers. And you know, you talk about internal drama. That's the clubhouse leader right there. But you know, so I don't know. I do think that, you know, maybe the Bay Area gets one of these guys. I have a hard time though imagining that the Steelers are going to say, "Oh, Antonio, you want to go to the 49ers? All right, cool, we'll hook you up." But it would be kind of amazing if the Cowboys trade of Amari Cooper, because they sent their first-round draft pick, if that went full circle to the point that that armed the Raiders enough to yank Odell Beckham Jr. out of the division. I mean, imagine with one stone the Cowboys getting Amari Cooper and getting Odell Beckham Jr. out of the division. That would be kind of amazing.
And they're moving to Las Vegas. They need some star power, and they need, you know, a real, you know, Odell Beckham's only 26. So I think that may be, you know, fit well with him. And John Gruden, I mean, think about it. They gutted the team so they could come to a day where they'd have enough draft picks, enough resources to go out and get players. And I always think it interesting. I don't know about you, RJ, but these guys that, you know, they feel they're scorned, like Antonio Brown, and like he didn't want to be in Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden he sends this farewell Instagram post. Mm-hmm. "Thank you so much. I'm happy to leave, and you've been good to me." I'm like, come on, dude, you didn't even want to be there. I mean, I understand you got to pacify your fans and everything, but they try to make them look like the good dude.
Sure, I'll say this. I love Instagram drama. I'm all about, you know, and we're going to talk about some Instagram stuff in a little bit. I love, you know, because I think it is cool that players...
They're so transparent, though. I mean, come on, dude.
Awesome. Like, I mean, I do...
Oh, I get that.
But you're right. Antonio's a different animal in this regard. I mean, or the situation's a different animal, because he is so far out there that it's beyond just normal. Oh, that's interesting. And
it's not realistic. Not the reality of what the world he lives in. I don't think he gets it.
You know what? I'm, you know, to get off topic for a second, I'm going to be very interested to see how Antonio Brown likes playing for the Cardinals. You know, I mean, because you've played for, you know, a handful of organizations. I mean, I have to imagine, you know, I know you didn't play for the Steelers, but I mean, you know, you're talking about a class organization, class ownership, one of the finer blue collar cities in America, great people, you know, great quarterback, you know, fantastic uniforms. I mean, what could you possibly want that you're not having or not getting in Pittsburgh? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I try to trade him somewhere.
Just banish him.
Yeah, to the CFL or someplace like that.
Yeah. Well, so wherever Antonio ends up, whatever. But yeah. What do you think of the odds on Odell getting traded? I mean, 1 to 10, with 10 being, oh, dude, that's definitely happening.
I'm going to give it a 5 and maybe 5.5, almost a 6.
A Leighton Van Der Esch.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. I really think, again, you know, some of the teams that have the resources to trade for him. And how many – we've been talking about this for, 2 years now? I mean, the whole rumor, but there really hasn't been the right fit.
That's what I was going to say, was we've heard enough about this that I kind of believe it. I mean, you know, it's not just like it's one time and it's one bold prediction. And Jay Glazer is pretty plugged in, you know, and The Athletic is behind a paywall. So, I mean, it's premium content. I mean, you know, he dropped a pretty powerful.
Well, yeah, it's a good source. All the sources that, you know, had these, reports, sure. I'd give that a lot of credibility.
Well, and that's, I guess what I'm saying is, where there's smoke, because there's definitely smoke around this Odell will be traded thing, where there's smoke, there's definitely some level of fire. And in New York, maybe Odell's tired of dealing with the New York media, who knows. But I tell you what, I would really enjoy getting to watch Odell somewhere else and getting to actually enjoy his success, because he is a really fun and dynamic playmaker. For example, I got to interview Kirk Cousins at the Super Bowl in Houston a few years ago, and he was so awesome. And I hated that because he played for the Redskins. And I was just like, dude, I mean, why did you have to be so cool? And he's a Spurs fan on top of all that. And so when he left last year to go to the Minnesota Vikings, I was like, dude, right on. Now I can, you know, back you completely. So I hope that, you know, Odell moves on just so we can enjoy his abilities to a different level.
I'd like to see him end up in a Raiders uniform. Dude, you know, they're moving a lot, like I said, in Las Vegas, and I think that maybe that may be a good, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback situation. I don't know which way direction they're going to go with that. I mean, I don't know the whole, you know, with Derek Carr and everything else, but I think for him, maybe that might be a good fit with John Gruden. Maybe he can harness some of that passion and some of that drama. I mean, I know the Raiders in the past, they've let them be individuals, but I think his individuality has really gotten, it's really kind of wore out in New York.
That would be really interesting if that's where he ends up. But, you know, hey, whatever. Okay, so by the way, Tony, when we record, you know, every time, I always see the awesome painting. I think it's a painting behind you in your office, and of you sacking Steve Young. And
yeah, that's...
I'm going to be honest with you. This week, for the first time ever in my life, and I'm being really honest here, I watched the movie There's Something About Mary. I had never seen that before, and that made me think of it.
Which part did you like? There's a lot of great parts in that movie.
It was really funny. Obviously, the whole like dog wrestling thing was really great, where Ben Stiller wrestles it. I enjoyed the end. Like, where
do you like the gel in the hair?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. That was great. I enjoyed the end when Brett shows up. But
you like his acting ability?
Yeah, it was pretty good, actually.
I like that.
And I read that they, because I like to like Google movies afterwards, I read that they filmed that right after Super Bowl 32. So he had just lost the Super Bowl, and he showed up to film this movie. So respect to Brett.
Yeah, but you know what? You get to be in a movie with Cameron Diaz. Hey, there's... That'll make you feel better.
It's a good way to soften a Super Bowl loss, certainly. But it was cool. I'd never seen it, and I thought of Steve Young. Like, when I saw that jersey in her office in the movie, I was like, man, she and Tony both have something Steve Young-related in their office for very
different reasons. Well, so you mentioned that. Vernon Wells, which is a tremendous artist, he did that as a pitcher, and I sent it to him, and he actually did the artwork for that. And he does a lot. If you guys, you know, people that are listening to our podcast, if you Google Vernon Wells, he's got a lot of plethora of all these different athletes. And actually, his son, I think it's Vernon Wells Jr., is a Major League Baseball player. I think he's so if you Google his name, it'll come up. But yeah, that's what you're referring to me over my right shoulder.
Respect. Well, so you mentioned picture, and maybe someday you'll post that picture on Instagram. That's where I want to go now.
Okay.
I love the Instagram breadcrumbs. And if you're listening and you follow me and you've followed me on Twitter for a few years now, you know that I love to go digging in that. And I didn't even have to dig that far this week, Tony. So on Tuesday's episode of NFL Total Access.
Wait, don't be looking at my breadcrumbs, okay? No.
Well, I don't. Those are loaves, dude. They're not crumbs.
Okay, right? Okay. So that'd be almost like this. I'm referring to another way of saying skeletons in your closet.
Right.
Breads, you know. Like.
I don't. Again, you made it easy this week, dude, with the Antonio Banderas photo. So on Tuesday's episode of NFL Total Access. Willie McGinest and David Carr were talking about various free agents and where they should go this offseason. David Carr said that Jadeveon Clowney should go to the Raiders. Obviously, David Carr is not biased at all, but whatever. So then Willie McGinest, he goes through a few free agents, and he gets to Earl Thomas. And he says, man, I think this guy should go to the Cowboys. I don't know about you, Tony, but I think that Willie was the first guy ever to connect Earl Thomas to the Cowboys. Nobody has ever done that, so it was super brilliant.
Great job, Willie.
Yeah, I mean,
that's some breaking news.
Really
there.
Insightful over here.
Yeah.
So I saw that when it happened. I was like, oh, you know, whatever, and I laughed about it. And the next day, on Wednesday, Earl shared this video. Like, he shared the clip of Willie saying that Earl should go to the Cowboys. Earl shared that on his Instagram. And he said, I'm just going to enjoy the process, you know, whatever, NFL free agency, et cetera. And so there's a lot of ways to interpret this. Does he mean I'm going to enjoy the process of, you know, moving to Dallas? It was reported that he enrolled his children in school in Austin. Obviously, he went to the University of Texas.
By the way, I tweeted that at you. You didn't even clap back at me.
Because well, I knew we were gonna jump in the lab here. You know,
it's like, dude, man, can't even give your brother some love.
Well, I was saving it for the pod. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just joking.
And so that, you know, people kind of, you know, their ears perked. You gotta do is drive up I-35 and, you know, whatever. But anyway, I mean, that doesn't mean anything in my opinion. We can get there. So that happened. And then he posts this, but maybe he means I'm going to enjoy the process as in now I'm actually a free agent. Now I can talk to a number of teams. Now it's not just the Cowboys, whatever. There was some rumors and speculation that the Kansas City Chiefs were interested in him. So Tony, I'll present it to you to start like this. What does it all mean?
Well, it's kind of, you know, I was way before the application, the apps on your phone to try to hook up with someone. So this has been like one of those Tinder moments. And it seems like, if you swipe left or swipe right, you accept them or whatever.
I've never used Tinder, so I couldn't justify.
Well, I haven't either. So I'm just trying to use that as an analogy. Actually, it's probably not the best way. But for some reason, if you swipe, this is Tony's Tinder. If you swipe left, nice. You're not interested, swipe right, hey, let's hook up. For some reason, they haven't been able to swipe right. So maybe this is the time when things go right. And look, I mean, we all know that Willie McGinnis, again, this is not breaking news. We all know that Earl Thomas. And look, I like the inside and everything. I love him as a player. But this has been going on for about 2 or 3 years, this love fest or whatever. But I don't know how much to read into it. I don't know what he wants as far as a salary. But I don't think he's – the value has decreased, wouldn't you agree, from this year to, I guess, the 2019 to last year because of the injury and everything else? And so I think maybe if he's in Texas, I mean, why not? As you mentioned, drive up 35 and, you know, you got an opportunity to play in Dallas. But money is going to come down ultimately to what the deal is. And the Cowboys, got $46 million under the cap?
I mean – yeah, I mean, look, I think if the
Cowboys... But that money's going to be allocated to you know, Dak, yeah, contracts, I mean, and totally. Hopefully Marcus Lawrence, you know, there's a lot of other things.
So I'm going to say this. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I've said this a lot of places yet, so it's a fitting place to debut this opinion here on the 750. I am sad about the way I feel about this because a year ago, I loved talking about Earl Thomas and the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wanted it to happen so badly. This year, I mean, you know, a year later with everything that's transpired and a lot of things have transpired. A, you know, Earl got hurt. B, Earl, you know, flashed his team the middle finger.
Shooting the bird. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm not excited to hand that guy, you know, a lot of money. Also, I mean, you know, while he didn't shoot the bird at the Cowboys, he did, you know, metaphorically shoot that bird when he bowed to them. I mean, you know, let me say also, I like that. I like that attitude, especially in a guy who's going to be my safety and the leader of the defense. I really do like that attitude. But he's older now, he's coming off an injury, and we have learned that Chris Richard is very capable of developing players in the secondary. And so I don't feel as passionately about it, which bums me out. What it feels like to me is like, and I've never experienced this personally, so I'm just basing this off of, like, movies. But you know how, like, when somebody goes to summer camp and they have a crush, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and it's magical, yeah. and it's perfect and whatever. And then you go back the next year, same camp, you stay in the same bunk and everything and whatever, and you see the girl and it's just like... it's not the same, you know. It's a little different, and it feels like we're back at summer camp, and it just the moment's gone. And I am sad about that. And if he signs with the Cowboys, I'm going to pretend I never said this and say it was a great idea all along. But it feels like the moment has passed, and so I don't know, man. I mean, would it be cool? Yeah, but I want to ask you, as somebody who's lived the life of a professional athlete, and specifically in the NFL, how much does him putting his kids in school in Austin really factor into all this? Like, I mean, because people are reading into that. I mean, do you really think that that could be something, or is it just a matter of, dude, I mean, he could fly anywhere at any time. That means nothing.
I don't think it means anything. And I tweeted it out, and it's, I mean, he's from Austin. I mean, he's from Texas. He's actually, I think he enrolled to finish up his degree, and oh no, he enrolled the kids. That's another athlete. But anyway, I think that, I mean, who wouldn't want to live in Austin, Texas? I mean, Austin's a great place to live in off season, and he's not in Seattle anymore. And so I don't really read into it that much, because you know, it's such a great place to live and raise your family and everything else that goes along with that. And I think the point is that I do think the fact that Chris Richard and him have a relationship could go in his favor as far as being a, you know, signing as a free agent. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, he develops players, and I don't know. I mean, who wouldn't want an Earl Thomas? It's, you know, 100%. I mean, the guy's a tremendous, tremendous player, but I'm like you. I think the novelty is kind of worn off to this whole scenario where they've kind of moved on, and like, you know, we can, you know, the Cowboys didn't know how good they were going to be defensively this year.
Right.
I mean, they got exposed against the Rams in the playoffs, but I don't think they didn't realize how great they were going to be on the defensive side of the ball, minus someone in the back end like Earl Thomas.
I think it's so interesting. And I also think Earl is a dude who marches to the beat of a different drum. I mean, we learned that.
Which is okay.
Yeah,
in sports and National Football League.
Yeah, people forget that a few years ago, was it a Sunday night game against the Panthers when he got hurt, and then he was in the locker room tweeting about potentially retiring. You know, that was a wild.
I forgot about that. Yeah, those crumbs, man.
Exactly. That was a wild experience. And then you've got the whole, you know, the fact it was awesome, you know, because we cover the Cowboys, but the fact that this dude ran to the Cowboys locker room is in itself very weird. You know what I mean? Cowboys bias aside, that was a very weird thing to do. And then there was the constant, you know, liking things on Instagram a year ago. That would have sucked if we were Seahawks fans. You know what I mean? We would not have enjoyed that. Then there was the bowing to the Cowboys and the middle finger and everything. And so because he's a little different, I really think that as a now free agent, I could see him being like, you know what, man? Everyone thinks I'm going to the Cowboys. I'm gonna spice it up. I'm gonna be different. You know, I don't want to be predictable. I don't want to be whatever. I'm gonna go somewhere else. It doesn't seem as destined as it did a year ago.
I think he's just leveraging that and just leveraging whatever's out there for other teams that may be interested in him. And I mean, I don't blame him. I think social media is probably the best platform to have now for an athlete that's up for renegotiation and just the whole fandom of it. And just people are like, hey, you know, we got to have Earl Thomas. And, you know, what fans, we talked about earlier about Dak Prescott giving them home team discount. Hey, you know, everybody needs to start tweeting and Instagramming Earl Thomas. Hey, you know, you're in Texas. You want to be a Cowboy. Once you give them that home team discount that you so desired.
Right. I mean, you know,
so what kind of great guy you are and how bad you want to be a Cowboy, Earl.
Right. I do think that's interesting. And I do want to get into that at a later time, how badly guys want to be Cowboys or whatever. But I'll ask you this, Tony, and it doesn't necessarily come down to this. And we talked about this earlier in the week. You know, if you could only keep three of these four guys, a different hypothetical. This week, The Athletic also reported that Sean Lee expects to play in 2019. And I thought it was really interesting. I had a friend who saw Sean when the Cowboys went to Vegas right after the season ended, and it was Dak and Zeke and the usual crew, but Sean was there. And I thought that was kind of weird. I mean, according to my friend, Sean was there with all of them rolling around in Vegas. And I kind of thought, like, okay, dude, I mean, respect, hanging with the guys, all right, cool, you know, go have a good time. And I thought that kind of, you know, maybe insinuated, you know, he wanted to, I don't know, reconnect or see if his heart was in, I don't know, whatever. Maybe the guy just wanted to go enjoy the desert, who knows. But if it came down to, and it won't, but if it came down to keeping Sean Lee or landing Earl Thomas, what would you rather do?
That's a good question. I think you're probably... I mean, Sean Lee's role is going to be a backup linebacker, and they're due to pay him $7 million. So they're not going to – so I think a decision is going to come back, you know, come down to Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. They want to continue to pay him. And I know he's beloved. I mean, you know, Sean Lee is a tremendous player, but I don't think you can compare him to Jason Witten. Jason Witten was here for 15 years, never missed a game. And just some ridiculous, you know, I have a picture of him. One of my all-time favorite pictures of Jason Witten is him getting hit in an Eagles game. His helmet flies off, and he's still running down the sidelines with the ball. Mm-hmm. So there's a totally different, this is Paul Bunyan tell type of, you know, type of story. Some people are like, Jerry, he takes care, and he's loyal to the people he really loves. Well, the problem, bottom line, is that Sean Lee really hasn't played a whole lot in the last 2 or 3 years, and certainly the last 2 years. I mean, he's played, but he's always been injured. So, Sean Lee is disposable, you know. So, and I think to me, and that's tough, but, you know, if he wants to play, I don't think he's going to be here in Dallas. If he's going to play, you're talking about a home team discount, brother.
Well, so
hey, that's where it's going to come down to.
That's my next question, you know, because that's a different, way different situation than Dak Prescott, because you're right. Dak has all the leverage in the world. He has his entire future ahead of him. Sean is very obviously close to the end of his career. If you're Sean in that situation, is it something that you maybe do consider? And not the simplicity of, oh, I'd rather just give up money. But if you're Sean, do you look at this, if you're offered a pay cut, for example, and this is just one hypothetical, and do you say, okay, they're asking me to take less money, I could do that, or I could roll the dice and try to go somewhere else, but I'm probably not going to make that much on the open market anyway, and I'm going to have to move, and I'm going to have to play in a whole new scheme with whole new players and a whole new set of coaches. I mean, at that point, in this specific hypothetical, does it become worth, you know what, I'll just do it. I'll just take this pay cut because it makes more sense to be here.
Well, I think there's two parts of this. There's the parts of the whole situation not be favorable for Sean Lee is Leighton Vander Esch.
Right.
The emergence of him and then Jalen Smith. I mean, you know, unfortunately, Sean Lee, there's a glimpse of that, him playing to that level, but consistently he can't do it any longer. And then also, I think it's going to go down to like the Dez Bryant situation last year, where Dez Bryant, and certainly totally two different personalities, but it comes down to the business of it. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to bring Sean Lee, which unfortunately, poor Sean has no leverage,
right,
you know, because he's making $7 million. If he goes in the open market, what are they going to pay him? Oh, well, Sean, you can't stay healthy on the field, we'll pay you the minimum, whatever. We're not going to pay you we're not even going to pay you $3 million, I don't think.
Well,
he has no leverage. So I think Jerry's going to look at it the same way Dez Bryant. I don't know if he comes back and makes him a minimum offer or whatever the case may be. Maybe. But I kind of look at it that whole scenario that took place with Dez Bryant.
It's an interesting comparison, specifically in the realm of leverage, because unlike Sean this year with Leighton Vander Esch, there was no answer to releasing Dez. You know, a year ago it was, okay, if you're going to release Dez, what's the move? What are you going to do? I mean, you got Terrence Williams. You know, that was the conversation was. Now, poor
yeah.
Sean, it's if you what's going to happen if you release Sean? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well,
two, yeah.
You got Leighton Vander Esch.
Yeah.
So Sean has even less leverage than Dez is the point. Although to your point, maybe there is some leverage in the fact that he's a team leader where Dez wasn't. You know, whatever in different ways. I mean, you know, that's worth something. Maybe it's not worth $7 million.
Well, you know, maybe he plays. I don't know how many snaps is he going to play a game for. I don't know whatever they want to pay him. Just to be out there and be a player coach. I mean, these guys, I think that you know, we all like as players, we like to have a mentor and guys out that play and teach us everything. But, you know, the one thing about it, as an athlete, you still have an ego. You still have you're very prideful. And you want, you know, seeing someone else out there take your job. And it's hard to have both of those roles.
Mm-hmm.
But if they put a pitch count on him, say, Sean, we're going to pay you X number of dollars, and you're going to play 15, if you can, 10 or 15 snaps a game. I mean, that's basically what he played this year. Not even that much because of his health.
I haven't quite decided how I feel about the Sean Lee situation because, you know, I mean, and everybody knocks on wood, whatever, but I mean, it would be the worst situation ever. You move on from Sean, whatever, Leighton sprains something, is missing 2 weeks all of a sudden, and now you're thinking, oh God, you know, what did we do? I mean, whatever, but you know, you can, and then the argument becomes you can't live in fear, whatever. I mean, there's a whole lot of ways to look at it. This was a very interesting week, Tony, where really nothing happened, but a lot of things, you know, the tide turned, you know what I'm saying? Like the face on the clock turned. It's like on your Apple Watch, you know, where you can just change the face if you want, if you're not feeling it anymore. That's what this week was like in the NFL with all the rumors and speculations and the Joe Flacco trade and whatnot. So, I mean, it's been a good week, and we'll end it with the Oscars. Look at that.
Yeah, the Oscars. Yeah. Oscars are coming up.
Yeah, this Sunday. It's a big day. It's a big Sunday.
Oh, wow. I thought it's already this Sunday.
I think so. I could be wrong. I actually, I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah, I think you may be right. But nevertheless, that's my wife's Super Bowl weekend. It's like, get the hell out of my way. I'm going to watch.
Okay, so I was wrong.
In 2 weeks, correct?
Yeah, it's February 24th.
It's like, hey, dude, if anyone would know about the Oscars this weekend, just because of my wife's interest in it, I would.
You're
like,
right.
Dude, wait, what have I been missing? I've been living on a rock or what?
This Sunday, though, the San Antonio Commanders do play the Steve Spurrier-led Orlando Apollo.
See, that's more important right there.
Right.
Well, I thought someone tweeted something out about Steve Spurrier referring to him that he, you know, he's having a hard time moving around, that he needed a segue to ride around on, because I didn't see that and I didn't want to comment because the way my body feels this morning, I need a wheelchair.
Well,
I shouldn't say that. Knock on wood.
We'll get you something. This Sunday is also, Tony, the NBA All-Star game. So who are you rooting for, the East or West? This is a very, very important game, obviously.
I guess the question is, what's the over and under in that game?
Oh, probably like
500 points?
500, yeah. I mean, think so. That's
what do you like? Are you a three-point guy? You slam dunk anymore? The skills?
So I've never been to the actual All-Star game. In 2006, my dad and I went to the Saturday night festivities, and so that was really cool. And so that's always kind of been my thing after that. You know, the Rising Stars Challenge, that sucks. But the 3 points, really cool. The dunk contest obviously could be a lot better, but it is still kind of cool. I mean, it's the NBA dunk contest, and so it happens once a year. I enjoy that more than I do the All-Star game itself.
Yeah, I don't watch the All-Star. I probably won't watch any. I may watch the about 30 seconds of the NBA All-Star game, and I will proceed to probably watch golf or something. Well, it's a night game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you can watch the Genesis during the day, and then get the All Star game at night.
And I'm gonna watch the Commandos.
Yeah,
beat up on Steve Spurrier.
That's right. It's gonna be a good time. So we'll be back then on Monday to talk, obviously, about the Commanders' 100-point victory over the Apollos and about the East and West. But last thing I'm gonna say, I looked this up because I was doing something else for a different project. So the last five teams to go to the finals in the Western Conference that are not the Warriors, San Antonio Spurs, the Oklahoma City Thunder, mm-hmm. the Dallas Mavericks, the Los Angeles Lakers, and who do you think that fifth team is? The last five non-Warriors teams to represent the West in the finals.
Oh. San Antonio? Did you say San Antonio?
Yeah, San Antonio, okay, obviously, LA, Dallas, and Oklahoma City.
Not the Clippers, right?
No, the Utah Jazz.
Oh, wow.
It's just been the same teams over and over and over again. It's crazy. So I thought that was interesting. That's a
big fan of that? Dynasties like that?
I mean, who doesn't love the NBA? But it is kind of crazy when you think about, you know, that, you know, so many teams go back and forth, and it's just kind of – it's not even a shuffling of the deck. It's a shuffling of, like, six cards.
Yeah, it's all – the season doesn't start until, what, May? Because think about it's all about the playoffs.
Right, and, like, what I don't love as much about the NBA, you know, if the Cowboys play the Eagles, for example, on, you know, in week 12, that game means everything, you know, or could mean everything. And so it's super important. I mean, you know, I just, as a Spurs fan, if they lose, and obviously the current Spurs aren't in this conversation, but if they lose a game to the Mavericks, you know, in the middle of February, I mean, I don't lose an ounce of sleep, you know.
Cause, yeah, and there's eight teams in the playoffs, so, right. You know, majority of the teams are going to get in. But, yeah, you're right. But I just – dominance is great, but it's kind of like the Patriots. Patriots, you either love them or hate them. And the Warriors are kind of the same way.
For sure. So that about does it for us. We'll be back on Monday. Tony, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy,
all right, brother.
Enjoy the not Oscars, and we'll see.
Good luck, San Antonio Commanders.
That's right. We'll see you all Monday. This was the 750.